Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
And Markakis strikes out. So Kennedy puts the hammer down. And it's a two-game sweep in Atlanta, Kansas City.
And they swept the Braves. Beautiful.
Yeah, they're laughing at KC this morning, and welcome to day four of our coverage of the 2019 AT&T Atlanta Falcons training camp live from Flowery Branch this morning. John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Well, as we crack day four here in the early morning hours, wish we had some better news from late last night over in Cobb County, because the Atlanta Braves did as they're laughing in Kansas City. The worst road team in baseball, Hugh Douglas, comes in and beats the Braves. How you doing, Hugh?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing this morning? Rise up and all that good stuff. Yeah, it was a tough one last night. You put yourself in a position where, you know, the cushion you had, what was it? At one time it was like a 7-game lead. It's down to like a 4.5 game lead now in the division over the Nationals. And the Phillies look like they got a little life about them. It's one of those things where you got a team coming in that is probably one of the worst teams in baseball. Right now, they got 39 wins, and you let them beat you. You know what I mean? Only thing I can say to that, John, is it looked like they kind of overlooked the Kansas City Royals a little bit.
Yeah, and that's just what you cannot do right now, because last night the Philadelphia Phillies won. The Washington Nationals won two yesterday, both ends of a doubleheader against Colorado, and they held the Rockies to two runs total in both games. And as a result, we wake up this morning, the Washington Nationals are only 4 games out of first place. They made up a game and a half yesterday. They're 4 back, Hugh. I mean, they are knocking on the door with the Braves going to Philadelphia and Washington. So some groans and, if not concerns, what was, a week or so ago, the opportunity to maybe put so much distance between yourself and the rest of the division by the end of the month that you could, you know, have other things, all of a sudden is a concern. A lot of concern.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, it is, because, you look at the fact that you played a team that wasn't that good. I mean, they're a good team, but, you know, their record didn't show it, and you didn't take advantage of the situation. And a lot of people will point to the fact that you probably overlooked the Kansas City Royals, looking ahead a little bit to the Nationals and the Phillies coming up, knowing how important that is. But with all that being said, John, it's a missed opportunity, but I'm not about to push the panic button when it comes to the Atlanta Braves right now. I'm not about to do that.
Well, yeah, Brad Keller, you across the street from us is Flowery Branch. Literally across the street is Flowery Branch High. Brad Keller went to Flowery Branch High. He comes back to Atlanta, this kid from right here, and pitches brilliant baseball last night. The Braves get shut out, and an American League pitcher, in Brad Keller, gets an RBI hit off Julio Teheran. So, yeah, everything that could have gone wrong last night did. They were just listless. And there's, you know, concerns. We've had so many concerns about the bullpen. But, I mean, I guess the one thing I'm going to lean on is whatever the funk this offense is going through right now, you know they're going to snap out of it. So that's kind of the good news. They're not going to stay in this kind of a, state for very long, would think.
And then you look at the quality pitching that you got. You got quality pitching the last two nights. Julio Teheran gave you 6 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs. I mean, That's decent. That is real decent. When you're talking about going into this trade deadline, getting ready for that, and all we've talked about was relief pitching and starting pitching and things of that nature, and your offense just goes cold. I mean, it happens. It's looks like Freddie Freeman's starting to work his way out of his slump a little bit, and it's one of those things where you cannot overlook the team that you're playing, and that's what I kind of feel like. You know, you're looking ahead a little bit. You're peeking over the Kansas City Royals because they are so bad, and you're looking ahead at the two teams you have coming up that you're basically in a race with, and that's the Phillies and the Nationals.
Well, it's a race now, that's for sure. We are live at Flowery Branch for day four of the Atlanta Falcons. They're going to be in pads again today as they get ready. 1 week from tonight, the Falcons play their first game of the preseason. The NFL goes 1 week from tonight when the Falcons will be in Canton, Ohio against the Denver Broncos. You know, Hugh, I'm kind of curious. One of the questions I haven't had a chance to ask and I'm going to ask is, you know, given the new rules in the NFL, is this enough time to kind of get ready for a game?
What do you mean, John?
Because
when
how much time does it take to get ready for a game?
I mean, John, this, for as far as I know, so every year I played, it's been about like that. It's been at least 10 days before you play your first preseason game. So I don't understand what you think is different about this year as opposed to any other, because it was like that last year and the year before that. I mean, I don't understand the question.
Oh, I didn't realize it was only 10 days. Normally, it seemed like it was more than
It always feels like it's not that long. It's not. I don't remember ever being in camp where it's been like 2 weeks before you played a preseason game.
Oh, okay.
Game.
Why are you?
It's they're coming to camp a little earlier,
right?
But it's always they're almost like 10 days out before actual preseason game is played.
Yeah, it may be just because they're coming in earlier that. All right, so that's no different than a normal year.
No, okay. I mean from my, like, if I'm wrong.
Well, no, I trust you.
No, I'm saying if I'm wrong, because I don't ever remember being it more like I've never gone 2 weeks, in training camp and never not played a game. I don't remember that. You probably have to ask Randy, or Harry. Harry probably be the best person to ask that, but I do not remember.
Okay, no,
it being any
you're,
time longer than that.
You're the guy that played in the league for 10 years.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, unless it's changed, because it's always been about that. It's always been like a week or a couple days before. I mean, not a couple days, but like it's always been like at least 7 to 8 days before you play a game.
Well, not that, notwithstanding the fact that, you know, you're going to get a chance to see these guys. Some of the rookies will get their first crack at this. You know, the offensive lineman in that battle will begin.
Yeah,
and,
because wait a minute. You talk about who went to camp yesterday, Jacksonville, right?
Oh, there were 10 teams that went to camp.
Okay, well, I'm just saying Jacksonville because that's the one I remember because of, you know, Jalen Ramsey and him being, you know, in the Brinks truck. And what's that? That was on a Tuesday. So they're playing next Thursday?
No, a week from. Yeah, a week after.
Yeah, so that's about – it's been the same for forever.
I was just – it maybe just came on me fast. That's all.
Oh, no. I'm just saying I was trying to think about what you're talking about because I was like, man, I don't remember it being anything different than that. It's kind of always been like that.
Yeah, and I guess because I quit college, because in college you have a full month before you usually play. I mean, you usually take about 20 practices and then you play. But then college doesn't have preseason either. I mean, essentially preseason is nothing but practice anyway. When I say a game, it's a glorified scrimmage between two teams. And you know, you're going to get rookies and backups and everything because your starters aren't going to play. You're not game planning for the game against the Denver Broncos. You're lining up in base and saying, go play football. But that is, you know, that it's only a week away is how fast it's coming. A nice cool morning as we get ready for another beautiful day. Going to be perfect sunshine if you're coming out to Flowery Branch. 8:30, the gates open, and practice begins at 9:30 this morning. And, again, the Falcons will be in pads again. And, you know, a bit of a spirited practice yesterday. You saw some interesting, fun things as the team was putting some wrinkles in. We saw, you know, Mohamed Sanu in the Wildcat, which was always fun to see Hugh because of his ability to do something. You saw some guys make some great catches. Sanu made a great catch. And Alex Gray, the tight end, who continues to impress in terms of being a practice squad guy for taking up the game, made a couple of really nice catches. Just a lot of fun and a chance to see the team. Again, you're not doing full tackling. That's you know, one thing. A lot of, you know, touch tackling still, but the team seemed to be into it, and we'll see what today brings in terms of some wrinkles. Again, not much you can glean. My favorite moment was that Sanu Wildcat moment where he kind of broke one.
I know it had a lot of people talking. It had a lot of people talking, and that's something that you could potentially see this year. Don't know exactly when, but like you said, Sanu is the third quarterback on this squad, so he's going to be a guy that at points during the season that they're going to give him reps at the quarterback spot just to keep his arm, you know, loosen up a little bit.
And, of course, we'll get a full story on practice today. Alex Mack, Andy and Randy had a chance to talk to him. We'll hear from the star center of the Atlanta Falcons in about 10 minutes. Julio talked big yesterday, even though he's not practicing. And, by the way, don't worry so much about either of those storylines, about his contract. You know, that's going to get done. We're going to hear about that if it's not already done. There are a lot of people that think it's already done. And he's just resting his foot. There's no reason for Julio to go out there. Look, if they had to play a game tomorrow, Julio would be out there, A. And B is that he wouldn't need really any reps with – he'd just run what he's ever run. It's not like he really needs – those guys don't need training camp so much, I don't think. You, do they? I mean, yeah, you want to get your timing down, but how long does that really take those two to get on the same page?
You know what? Honestly, I was a guy that went to training camp. And I'm a believer in it to a certain extent. I think even more so when it comes to receivers and quarterbacks with the timing and everything. And I know Julio has said on more than one occasion that, you know, him and Matt Ryan have been working together for so long, it's really not needed. But one would argue that even last year was a little bit off at the beginning of the season. It didn't take that long to get him back on, though. So, I mean, if in a situation like this, you would like it to be him to be out there and be on time immediately, but it's not a necessity because it's not going to take him that long to get together, if that makes sense.
We will hear from Chris Lindstrom later on in the program, the rising star guard, the number one pick of the Atlanta Falcons. Quadri Allison, the new running back from Pittsburgh, draft pick, trying to get to that number two spot in a battle with Ito Smith and Brian Hill for reps behind Devontae Freeman. We'll hear from him as well. So a lot to get into today on day four of training camp from Flowery Branch, plus, of course, the very latest on the Braves, and that'll be all ahead in a very busy 4 hours. Let's begin that coverage with Andy and Randy's interview with Alex Mack. We have that in the queue here, and we'll play that when we return live on our continuing coverage of the 2019 Atlanta Falcons AT&T training camp from Flowery Branch on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92 on the game. All the very latest video and stories posted up. If you haven't checked out or bookmarked our website, you're making a mistake. If you're a Falcons fan right now, especially with all the great content and all the interviews that have been posted up at our website at 92.9thegame.com. All that, Alex Mack after a CBS Sports Minute.
Caleb and Chris, and I would say probably on the defensive line side, Kaminsky, the three of them have like a grinder work ethic. I'm gonna go again. You stay after, you see them doing more, and that's kind of what you like from the guys who are, you know, the big guys inside. They know it takes work, especially when the padded part starts small. But you're on the mark. This is where it counts the most for them because their practices are, their skill set matters the most right now.
Alex is great, and he's a great role model for me, and really a lot of the older guys are great pros. And so trying to take as much as you can from them in terms of what they do off the field, what's their practice routine, and then just their techniques that they use in the game and in practice is a huge part of it too.
Chris Lindstrom, the number one pick of the Atlanta Falcons, talking about the impact of a veteran and pro bowler like Alex Mack on his ability to line up next to him and have such a way to get schooled early in his career as an NFL player. And welcome back live to Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92 on the game. John and Hugh on the morning show on this beautiful Thursday morning. Nice and cool this morning. Going to be a beautiful day, Hugh Douglas. And one of the things I thought was interesting yesterday is, you know, when we were talking earlier and I said that a lot of people were oohing and aahing about Mohamed Sanu's, wildcat play and whatnot, is that I noticed that a couple of guys that I was talking to were talking more, and they were looking at the offensive line. You know, we were looking at Lindstrom, we were looking at McGarry, which makes sense, they're the number one picks. But I'm not used to having to look and focus at camp on offensive linemen. It's not something I usually do.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, you're looking at skill position players. But, again, you're really interested to see what this offensive line is going to look like this year.
Yeah, we are, because that's one of the Achilles heels of this team, both sides of the lines, for that matter. And I know me and Jarvis, we were looking at one-on-ones, and we were looking at – well, not one-on-ones. We were looking at 907 drill, and we were looking at pass rush scenarios for the Atlanta Falcons and just seeing how guys were out there working. You know, needless to say, we were out there looking at Vic Beasley attack a little bit and some of the other young players that were out there on the field and just trying to glean whatever you could possibly glean from the first day of actually having pads when they're out there getting after it a little bit.
Now, the last time the Falcons had a serious issue on their offensive line, they went into free agency and they got Alex Mack. And that shored up the offensive line enough that they became the number one offense in the NFL. Did they do that again this year when they tried to shore up that offensive line to get this offense back to maybe number one in the NFL? Yesterday, Andy and Randy had a chance to talk about the offensive line and to talk about the new players on the offensive line with Alex Mack, the veteran, and the interview begins with a question about Alex being the veteran on the offensive line and how he goes about setting an example for those new players.
I mean, I always just try to lead by example, just do the right things, try to work hard, try to bring people along and just do as much coaching as you can. I know when I was back in the Cal days, we always wanted to really do a good job of coaching each other because there's only one coach and you can like try to coach each other all the time. So like the system I was like, you know, raised in was always, hey, like try this, try that. You know, oh, I saw your footwork was a little wide. So even as a rookie, I was trying to do some of that stuff. Betts didn't like it too much, but which I understand. I think it was the freshman, like the rookie shows up and tells me how to do everything. I was like, oh, all right, calm down.
Right.
But at the same time, you'd like to be coachable. Like, okay, thank you. Yeah, yeah, my hand was wide. I really wanted to get that inside and try to coach that. So being a veteran guy, having done it a long time, knowing the technique, knowing the kind of system – you can really help other guys bring them along.
Now, I don't know if this has happened yet or not, but say Chris Lindstrom, he's a rookie.
He tries to
do that with you. Hey, Alex, I noticed that you did this.
That ain't going to fly.
How does Alex Mack
react
to
that? No, that'll be okay. I would assume it was coming from a place of, hey, I saw you do that. Why'd you do that? And be like, oh, okay, you know, I did that because I saw this or did that, or I think it works really well for this. And, you know, you just try to teach them some of the hidden tricks. The advantage of being an offensive lineman is when I get old and slow, which is happening quickly, you fall back on your technique. You know, no one's shocked I don't run an amazing 40 time. So if I slow down a little bit, I can still do the technique. I can still run block. I can still pass block. And it's okay because it's such a technique-based position that you have all the experience. You know how to do it. You've been around, you know, the world a couple times. That technique, that skill, that knowledge helps make up that distance as, you know, age catches up on you. So you have that advantage. So you have a lot to share with the young guys. Oh, you know, I saw him start to do this, so I want to make sure my hand's inside and really take off that bull rush or something.
What was your initial thought when you saw two linemen drafted in the first round? And how have they been around? I mean, because, of course, a rookie nowadays, they speak a little bit more. When you came in the league, it was more or less you listened and everything. But how has it been with those guys?
These guys are great. You know, they're hard workers every day, eager to learn, showing up, ready to work, great attitude. And that's what you want to see. You want a guy who's eager to learn, ready to work, because they have a lot of work to do.
Right.
They haven't, you know, been in the league very long. There's a lot of technique that, like I was talking about, to pick up and learn. And what worked in, you know, college isn't necessarily going to work here. It's such a different game. Like, the best player you ever faced in college,
right,
you faced him one time, and then he, like, graduated and went somewhere else. In the NFL, that guy just sticks around, and he's every guy on the team. You know, they're not going away. They're not graduating. They just, like, they play for 10 years, and you see him twice a year. So you see these guys a lot. They've done it a long time. They really know what they're doing. So everyone's technique, everyone's skill is really large.
When you saw that on draft night, I know Matt Ryan, I guess, texted Thomas Dimitroff and said, thank you, the two first-round offensive linemen. What was – I don't know if you texted Dimitroff or Matt Ryan or anybody, but what was your reaction?
I thought it was a good acquisition. You know, it shows the value of your position and the position I play, you know, offensive line. And they just – they value it. It's really tough, and you're putting investment now to build these guys up, to teach them around, to teach them and let them learn the position and develop into great players. Because it's hard to get linemen. They're just
right.
You need them, and you need to
right.
be healthy, and they need to be around. And so when you have that depth, when you have these guys that come in, and with their attitude, when they're out there working every day, eager to learn, they're going to catch up really quickly.
We've had Ricardo on. We've had Mohamed Sanu on, and the one thing that they have placed the emphasis on is a new focus. Do you feel that right now at this camp? I know it's only third day, but being around the guys off the field and everything, do you sense a different mentality focus this year?
I see it as everyone eager to learn. We lost a lot of games last year that were really tight.
Right.
And I think the key to that is just to, like, focus in the now. Let's get as good as we can, and then take every game one at a time and make each day the most important day. So don't look too far in the future. Let's work about right now in camp, how can we get as good as we can? Let's get really good at what we do, and then we can get better and better and better and better at that. And then when it comes to game one, let's like throw game one as good as we can and then move on to the next one.
Falcon center Alex Mack joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. We spend a lot of time talking about Matt Ryan, obviously, on Sports Talk Radio. He's a hot topic, of course, not just here but across the country. I don't know that there's a closer relationship on a football team than between a quarterback and a center. What can you tell us and tell fans something about Matt Ryan that makes him so good that maybe we don't understand, something that we don't see just as casual observers of football, but that you know with that relationship that makes Matt Ryan the quarterback that he is?
I think Matt does a great job of taking care of his business really well. I mean, he has his body and his throw in motion and his warm-up. You see him before practice, he's doing a million different warm-ups. And so he's out there early taking care of himself. And then he is always around devoted to the film study and the communicating with all the different pieces that he has to. So there's never a question whether Matt knows what's going on. He always knows, like, what the calls are, what the game plan is. Like, he is very tuned in to what the coaching point of any given play, and he is totally ready and willing and able to tell guys and get them lined up and know the schemes and, like, get everyone organized onto that, and then he holds people accountable. Mm. You know, he's out there, and you can see him, like, no, you're over here, you're over there. He's, like, directing traffic. And at the same time, he's a really nice guy that, right, like, gets along with everyone. So it's not like, oh, you know, Matt yelled at me, I'm going to, like, go hide. There's a little bit of that, but it's more of the fact that, like, oh, you know, he just takes the game really seriously. And on the other hand, like, he's a very approachable, nice guy.
With the new coordinator, how has that been so far? Is it new terminology for you as far as blocking scheme, calls, or anything?
We've changed some stuff around, and we're – you know, in the process of kind of switching some of the lingo stuff, which is nice because, you know, we play the same teams all the time.
Right.
So it not being the exact same thing every day, like, helps us in that regard. But it's still football plays.
Of course.
You know, you still have to block X, Y, and Z. And, you know, you still have a certain blocking scheme. So what we call it might be a little different, but how we do it is going to be pretty similar.
Alex Mack joining us here on the Midday Show for a couple more minutes. And, look, you've been through plenty of training camps now. I imagine things are a little bit different at this point of your career than they were at the beginning of your career. How is training camp different for you now than it used to be?
I remember my rookie year. We had double days, and
yes,
I was the guy yes with, like, a ton to prove. And it was a real stressful environment in terms of I have the world to learn, and I have all this new technique, and, oh, my God, everyone on this field is better than me. And it was a really daunting feeling, and there's this whole, like, the future is unknown. You don't know where to live. You don't have a car. You know, you don't have any money. You know, it's a crazy environment of everything being new and different and the future unknown. To now, it's like, oh, I've been here before. I know what the season looks like. I know what this is. I've done it. Like, I've blocked people before. Like, I know what the skill level is. I know the technique. Like, so it's a whole different thing of, like, knowing what to expect and having no idea.
Well, yeah, you have one of the better running backs in all of ball, number 24. He's a special, special runner. The emphasis this year seems like they want to go back to more of a 50-50 balanced type offense. How important is that run game going to help the passing game this year?
I think being balanced is the best thing an offense can do to be effective. So if you're really predictable, even if you're great at doing whatever you're predictable with, it's going to have a really hard time because the defense will just stop whatever it is you're best at. If they don't know what you're going to do, if you're good at a lot of different things, if they try to stop one thing, you go to the other thing.
Right.
You know, so if you're great at throwing the ball and they try to stop it with coverage, well, it should be easier to run the ball. So you run the ball all day long. So having them not knowing what to do, not knowing what you're going to throw, is it a pass, is it a screen, is it a run, is it a draw, and having that question mark in the defense's mind only enables you to be really effective.
Alex Mack with Andy and Randy. Let's hope that they get balanced in that Falcons offense this year. Our live coverage from Flowery Branch continues next. The Braves, did you hear what the GM, Alex Anthopoulos, said last night? Oh, we have that. It's next with John and you on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Gibson swings and hits it in the air. Shallow right. In comes Eaton. He's there near the line. He makes the catch, and a Curly W's in the books.
A Curly W, meaning the Washington Nationals won both ends of a doubleheader against the Colorado Rockies yesterday. They picked up a game and a half in just one day, and suddenly they wake up four games back of the Atlanta Braves as the Braves head out to Philly and Washington over the next week. Welcome back to Flowery Branch and our continuing coverage of the 2019 AT&T Atlanta Falcons training camp with John and Hugh from the Falcons. We're getting ready for day number four here. Well, last night during the broadcast, Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager of the Atlanta Braves, went on with Chip Carey and Jeff Francoeur, and they were talking, and credit to Chip, Carey, and Jeff, they weren't beating around the bush. They were getting right down to, look, we are on this trade deadline in less than a week, and what is going to happen? What are you looking at? And the GM clarified a little bit of where the Atlanta Braves stand in terms of making a move, and this is what he said.
We've gone through a lot of our depth in the pen, so as we sit here today, I would say likely the focus would be more bullpen than starter.
Hugh, likely more bullpen than starters. Kind of acing out. Well, you know, you've got enough starters, don't you? I mean, if you've got Dallas Keuchel, Mike Soroka, Julio Teheran, and then what you need for the playoffs is four, right? Max Fried is back. Kevin Gausman's back. Mike Foltynewicz has had two back-to-back really good starts down at Gwinnett. He could be back. I guess that's where we're at right now, is he's thinking that maybe we go out and get a reliever to help the bullpen.
You know what's funny about this, John? I hear what he's saying, but you always have to account for smoke and mirrors in baseball and a little bit of misdirection. Because, you know, when we were talking about that, and you know, one of the rumors has been, you know, of Marcus Stroman and you know, the pitcher from Toronto that a lot of teams are interested in, and one of those teams happened to be the Braves. I was just looking at the story when we were talking about this from July 22nd.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of those things, when you hear what somebody says, as a fan, you kind of look at it and say, and you tend to believe it because he said it. But at the same time, let's think about it like this, John. How many GMs you know going to tell us exactly what they're going to do? Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where you take it with a grain of salt. Now, with that being said, you know, there could be a situation where the price is too rich to go out and get the guy that you want. Like, you would like to have this guy, you know, to solidify everything, but the price is too rich. I think that there might be a situation where they could be in the you know, hunt for a starter, but if the price isn't right, they're not going to make that move. And I think that's kind of what this is, because, you know,
yep.
As you know, John, we've been talking about it. The Phillies are looking like they're going to make a push, and we just heard, you remember last week, they were talking about we're out of it.
Right, Eddie McPhail saying we're out of it, right?
Yeah, and now they're on a little bit of a run. The Nationals are in it, so you have to take everything that's being said with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, that I instantly thought about what the reports were out of Philly, where Andy McPhail, the team president, allegedly told
– Yeah, he went out there and said, we're done.
We're not going to be, you know –
You think they're done now?
No.
You know what I mean? You know, and right. If they throw the towel in this early with the race being so tight, that would probably be foolish, because you're talking about your four games behind the National, four games behind you. How many does that make the Phillies? Like six or seven or something like that?
Yeah, about five, a little over five.
Five and a half. Thank you. Thank you very much, Oren and Oren the Sigma and Abe, the producer. That's still a winnable race. You're still in the mix. So to throw in the towel now, you can't justify that to your fan base. You got to keep it going. You have to keep it going. And then on top of that, John, knowing that you have a series coming up right before the trade deadline that could potentially swing, hopefully not, but it could potentially swing in your favor. So, you know, you got to take all of that with a grain of salt, man. You really do.
Talking about the Braves and where they stand after a very, very disappointing two-game homestand against the worst road team in baseball, Kansas City Royals. And, you know, you really couldn't afford to get two pitching matchups that would favor you, and two pitching outings like you got from Dallas Keuchel and Julio Teheran, both of which were solid, and you get nothing, literally nothing to show for it. Here's the good news on a couple of things. Number one, we'll get back into the trade deadline here in a moment. the starting pitching does look like it's in fairly good shape right now. And if Fulton Evich does, who's had two strong outings back-to-back in Gwinnett, and Alex Anthopoulos is saying that Fulton Evich has his velocity back, he's got his slider back, and if Fulton Evich can come back and be, you know, anything remotely to what he was last year, that would be a huge lift, and maybe Max Fried can come back and be, you know, something akin to what he was at the beginning of the season. Yeah, I think your starters are okay. Number two is the funk the Braves are in is a hitting funk. It's not a pitching funk. They're just in a hitting funk right now. They got shut out yesterday by the Kansas City Royals.
You know, the crazy thing about that, and they said it on the broadcast last night, five hits by the Royals last night won the game. Braves didn't make it past second base. That's crazy. Like, you're talking about one of the hottest hitting teams in baseball going against probably one of the worst teams in baseball, and they couldn't get past second base. But like I always said, I know somebody in the car that's a diehard Braves fan is going to get irritated when I make this cliche-ish statement, but it holds true. Sometimes you get the bear, sometimes the bear gets you. And the bear got you last night. The bear got you the last two nights. And I think that is that's directly because you overlooked them. I mean, let's be honest. You got the Nationals and the Phillies looming. And you got – oh, yeah, we got Kansas City coming in. No biggie.
Mm-hmm.
You can't
right.
do that.
No, I know.
You can't do that.
Right.
You can't do that. And if you're a player and you're being honest with yourself – you can sit there and you know, some people might say it's finding solace or making excuses, but the way that you played and the way that everything just kind of shut down during this, it feels like you overlooked them.
And the kid from across the street at Flowery Branch High, Brad Keller, comes in, and he's not going to be nervous pitching in Atlanta in front of
he had to represent.
Man.
He had, like, from the reports I heard, he had to buy a ton of tickets for people
right.
to come to the game, you know, because he's like, I was thinking about that ride in this morning because, you know, either way you go, you're riding past Flowery Branch High School to get here. And I was thinking about, like, damn, he represented last night. Like, he represented last night, and he did that for the people that came to the game to see him.
Well, we know that the offense isn't going to be in this kind of a funk. It's way too good. So that's kind of the good news. And if you believe that the starting pitching with Gausman's outing last time, Fulton Evich and all the reports, that the starters are going to be okay, all right, I might buy into a little bit of what Alex Anthopoulos is saying. But if he doesn't make a move for a starter, we understand that as well. So we'll see. Here's the other part of this, Hugh. Alex was talking about the fact that the phones have been ringing, but nothing's happened in all of baseball. And we're only 6 days away from the deadline. He expects that by tomorrow and this weekend, it's going to be trade.
Yeah. I believe that to be the case, John, because now the teams that are out of it are going to be trying, you know, that they were asking for all this lofty stuff. Now they're trying to get what they can get. You know, if it's not somebody that everybody's hot and heavy on. Because I think that every team that's in it right now, and some teams are in it that actually were potentially, was going to be traders. They're back in it. So that changes the dynamic of things, you know, moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking about this morning. We were talking about the Braves. We were talking about the Cleveland Indians this morning in the position that they're in right now. They look like one of the hottest teams in baseball right now and how – you know, they're not going to make any moves. You're talking about
Trevor Bauer being off the table,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's off the table. So, and you're talking about what? We were talking about Bumgarner. We're talking about and Will Smith. They look like they're off the table. So, now you're talking about, you know, scrambling because some of these names that we have been talking about for weeks, it's changed. The dynamic has changed. So, now the offering price might not be as high for certain pitchers because they're not as recognizable names as others. So it might change. It's definitely going to change in that dynamic.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting weekend. According to Alex Anthopoulos, the phone calls are getting far more serious, and so we can expect the moves to start. And what will the Braves do? I still think they're going to make a move. At this point, I don't think it's going to be a major move because Alex was talking about, like, Kevin Gausman and O'Day last year. I think it's going to be more in that mode rather than all of a sudden Zach Greinke shows up in Atlanta, for example. All right, we'll certainly continue to monitor this. Julio Jones spoke yesterday. What Jet said about being Julio 3K. I know. Wait till you hear this as we continue next live from Flowery Branch in our continuing coverage on the home of the Falcons of Falcons AT&T 2019 training camp with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
And they swept the Braves.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.